listening to The People's Show.
You come at the cane, you best not miss.
Left circle, Besser, one time slot shot, he scores. Brock Besser beats Jordan Binnington on the power play, and the Canucks are up 4-0.
With Seth, Dan, and Randeep.
The biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
On the official home of the Canucks.
Goes all the way down the ice, here's Pettersson after it. He's got a chance at a breakaway. Pettersson in clean, is tripped by Murray, but he scores. Tiki Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, citizens of the People Show. We come to you live from Rogers Arena on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda coming to you live on the People's Show. And we cannot be the People's Show without you, the people. 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Your take on the massive organizational changes made by the Vancouver Canucks and what you would like to hear from the owner, Francesco Aquilini, who will speak to media in the next 30 minutes, and you'll hear it live here with the People's Show. It's a day of change. Nearly 24 hours ago, word started coming out that the Canucks were going to be making a change at head coach. Bruce Boudreau would be coming in. And as the night went on, more news unfolded. And we see a new front office taking shape for the Vancouver Canucks. The search will be ongoing, but Stan Smeal will take over on an interim basis. Jim Benning, John Weisbrod are out. Travis Green and Nolan Baumgartner are out. And a new era of Vancouver Canucks hockey is about to begin tonight ahead of a puck drop with the LA Kings. It's been a wild 24 hours, gentlemen.
It has been absolutely unreal. But I got to say, it is a breath of fresh air. There is a level of excitement and something new moving forward, right? Hey, nothing's been solved long term.
Nope.
But at least we can move forward. Man, it seems like everyone, the whole market, whether it was fans, media, just a sense around the team, it was like Groundhog's Day repeatedly. And to finally be passed, like today we woke up and the day changed. Like today was a new day. For the first time, we felt like the calendar moved forward.
There's an expectation in this market now that things will be different. It starts like there's not a a long time you have to wait. It's not like an off season where you've got 2 months until the first game. That game's coming tonight, boys. That mood, you know, you talk about just having regime change and organizational change and coaching changes. Bruce Boudreau is in town. He's, you know, ran his first morning skate. There's a different voice coming. Now the question is the results, the efforts, the star players, do they wake up? That is why I think there's a positivity in this market today. And you can say, yeah, even go further and say a bit of a satisfaction that, okay, something has changed. And hopefully for this team, that means in the short term things change. But also, the bigger question is long term, and that's where Francesco Aquilini is going to be answering those questions soon.
For so long, it's been hard because, as the old saying, it's kind of become cliche now. As a professional sports team, you're selling wins or you're selling hope. And with the franchise stuck in neutral for such a long time, you know, what were you selling? You weren't selling hope. The fan base had lost hope in the direction of the team under Jim Benning. And you weren't selling wins because they haven't been here for, well, since the Canucks went into the COVID pause and had the brief run through the bubble. But in general, over 8 years of Jim Benning, you were not selling wins. All you sold was hope. A couple of high draft picks. Some good play from Elias Pettersson. Players either winning a Calder Trophy or being a finalist for a Calder Trophy. That's the hope you were selling, but for the last year, that hope has dried up, and you haven't been selling wins. So that pressure is what we felt, and you felt it build over time. You felt it with the banner flying over the city and everything else that happened, but now you can start to get excited about being a Canucks fan again because you know that a new era, a new voice, a new plan brings back hope into this team for the future.
And the key word there is plan, right? Mm-hmm. Because what are some of the things that we've been talking about for the last little while is that in order to move ahead with a new direction, a new vision, you did have to kind of get rid of that feeling of that mediocrity that this organization has been middling in for the last 3 to 4 years. And I know the bubble was a small moment of success, that they were close to making, you know, the conference final, but that was one fleeting moment. How do you set the direction long term? This was the first step because the team wasn't able to get out of it on their own, guys. You know, that Pittsburgh game was a brutal reminder of mm-hmm. when you play good teams, this team just could not, with that current regime and with that current coaching situation, they were not in those games. They were like, the score might tell you they might have been, you know, 1-1, mm-hmm. but we saw that. We watched that. We analyzed those games. So now with a new philosophy, maybe a new system, a new mindset, and maybe a fresh start for the players, you can at least be in more of these games. You can put up a competitive, you know, element to these games. But long-term, that vision, that is still going to be something that I think Vancouver Canucks fans, even though there's positivity, there's going to be a critical aspect to this market to say, great short-term change. Long-term, what's happening with this club?
Well, because they haven't figured that out yet.
Exactly.
And the hire of Bruce Boudreau, and we kind of broke this down last night on the emergency episode.
Yes.
Very well done, by the way, guys.
Thanks, okay. Randy. And you were holding it. Everybody was working hard last night. Randy was doing his thing on TV. Everybody was jumping on, trying to fill the airwaves and bring the latest content on the big changes going on with the team. But you hire Boudreau, it's essentially an extended interim tag, right? It's a one-year deal plus the rest of the season. That's what it is. So he's heading into next year with no safety net beyond the next year. And when you bring somebody in like that as a veteran who has no ties to the new front office or the new GM who's yet to be named because this was an ownership hire, then he's essentially a placeholder. It's a new version of Travis Green to get you through the end of this season. And the end of this season is going to determine what your direction is going to be. What does this group look like under Boudreau? How much of this was just the overall situation that had to change, and how much of this is inherently structural with the core that has to be reshaped? And the end of the season is going to tell us that. And I think what ownership wants to see is how much of this core and the top players here truly are as good as they thought they were. Because that's going to determine, I think, in so many different ways, what this team ultimately does with its long-term vision.
I do feel like there's a lot with this team. Obviously, Elias Pettersson for the rest of the season, you want to see some growth there. You want to see Brock Besser get back to being closer to his best self. We just haven't seen it. Does a new voice, does some tactical tweaks make a difference with Bruce Boudreau under the helm? Or we're going to hear from him after 4 o'clock, and we'll dive into that a little bit more. As it stands right now, Stan Smeal is going to join us exclusively after 6 o'clock in the pregame show. He's going to speak alongside Francesco Aquilini coming up after 3:30. He is the interim general manager. You have Ryan Johnson as the interim assistant general manager. Chris Gear, the Sedins, Doug Jarvis. It's going to be a collaborative until the Canucks bring in their new voice and they land on the person they want to see this franchise into the future. But what does this management group look like right now? How is it going to work? Are they allowed to do subtle things with this roster? What are we hearing about how this is going to work?
Well, I think number one, there's a sense of relief in the organization that something was done and now you're moving forward, right? And people know they have some clarity about their day-to-day right now and who's in charge. And I think the people that are here all deeply care about this team. That's the message I got. Whether it's Ryan Johnson, who played for this organization, the Sedins, who've been with this organization, Stan Smeal, who is a legend within this organization, Chris Gear, who's been here through a couple of regimes, who cares very deeply about the organization. So there's a sense of everybody being excited about working together. And I do think there is a level of day-to-day responsibility they do have. Like, for instance, this morning, it's my understanding they had a discussion as a group about Riley Nash, who's on waivers. He's a right-shot defenseman, league minimum contract. I think the team might be interested in picking him up. And my understanding is they're going to have conversation with the coaching staff this afternoon about the player to see what happens. So that's a small little thing. Now, big trades, obviously those things always go up the flagpole. But this newly reshaped front office is clearly working on improving this roster, tweaking the roster, and they are considering guys on waiver. So day one has begun, and within that group, and we'll talk to Smeal about this and get his sense, but is they're excited, there's a good focus, and yeah, there is some responsibility they have even as soon as today.
Well, you mentioned Riley Nash there, and that fits a need, right, with this organization down the middle, some player that can kill penalties, right shot centerman.
Can win a faceoff.
Can win a faceoff, and that is important with this organization right now. Even though their numbers have gone up, you know, they're not at like 20% like they were before, but they're still hovering below 50%. So in the meantime, Sat, to your point, absolutely, business needs to get done. Now, from a player's perspective, though, business definitely needs to get done because the coach is gone. The GM that brought these players in is gone. So now with a new message, a new direction, new coaching, yes, there's a huge onus on Bruce Boudreau to change the mojo of the city and this locker room. And you saw the smiles during the morning skate. You saw the, you know, the media availabilities after as well. But this is on the players, guys. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get rid of a coach and everything that comes with that coach and maybe that baggage with the coach and maybe that message is falling flat, now it's on the players to turn it around. And Bruce Boudreau has had success. When he comes into a market, it is, you know, there's a significant uptick. Look at his points percentage of 63.5 in his career. Very strong at wherever he goes. But now the focus has shifted to the players because Pettersson, Besser, those are the two guys we got to look at and say, all right, can they turn it around? That's the focus of the rest of this year.
There's a lot to look for, even as early as tonight. I know Boudreau just got in and he conducted his first morning skate with the team. So I don't know how much you can change in that one fell swoop. But I think off of what Sat mentioned, a relief around this franchise. Just a weight being taken away from Rogers Arena that you knew change was coming, and the longer it took to make it official, the worse the weight got, the heavier the weight got, and it boiled over on Saturday. And that's, you know, that weight is lifted now. And yeah, sure, I mean, it's a pipe dream to think of this team making the postseason, but you know, I want to see this team playing with joy again. I want, you know, to enjoy watching the Vancouver Canucks. I want to see Elias Pettersson playing with that joy again and those types of things. These are all things that absolutely need to happen through the back end of this season.
One thing, people are correcting me. I said right-shot defenseman, or Riley Nash, or right-shot centerman. That's the point, centerman. If I mentioned defenseman, he's a right-shot, but he's a centerman. Clearly, that's the need the Canucks have, not on defense. He's a center they're looking for.
Riley Nash on waivers today. Had a 41-point season with the Bruins a couple years ago. Hasn't been as strong since then. But when you think of the need and the specialization the Canucks might have for the right shot center, winning faceoffs, helping on the penalty kill, it's something Travis Green has been wanting since the start of the season.
Yeah, he's not the overall answer for the team in terms of a 5-on-5 play, but neither is Juho Lamico, right? Like, you need somebody who can fit a role, and a very specific role. So yeah, you have to start small, but then eventually, and this is where I'm looking forward to talking to Stan Smeal a little bit later on, there are some bigger decisions potentially down the road as well.
100%. Now, as much as that weight is lifted away from the team right now, one of the things about this, as we've called it over the last 12 months, the crisis of consumer competence, it's more than just Jim Benning that was kind of in the eye of the storm for this franchise. You heard the chants over the weekend and through this early part of the season, sell the team, because people are wondering why, you know, this franchise hasn't been able to have success, why they committed to Jim Benning for as long as they did, and feeling as though ownership and the way they've set this team up is part of the problem. I do think it is big that Francesco Aquilini is speaking today. It's necessary, given how this has played out. And first and foremost, you want to see some accountability on ownership's part for the state that this franchise is in right now. What do you want to hear from the owner, the chairman of Canucks Sports and Entertainment today?
I want to hear some accountability.
Yeah.
And I do want to hear how you want a front office to look moving forward. How do you want it to be shaped? Do you want it to be a lot like what we saw? Or are you more open to turning it over to somebody? Not to say you won't have input. Every owner has input. Yep. This notion that ownership never has a say
always
and is completely on hands-off, I think, is a utopian idea that doesn't exist. Every owner has a say and has a desire. Some a bit more forceful than others in how they get that point across. But, yeah, How much can you take your hands off the wheel, and how much do you want to invest in this moving forward?
Well, I think the key there, and this is what I want to know, is that are you okay with that buffer? And we call it the president of hockey ops. You can call it whatever you want. They call it different, you know, Montreal. But that element of having that separation, which Trevor Linden was supposed to be, that's what I want to know. Is the owner okay with going back to that system? Because, you know, this market feels like it needs it. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of responsibilities for one executive to take care of, whether that's media, whether that's team operations. Do you spread out the love? Do you spend that money? And do you bring in a buffer that ideally for an organization that has not had success outside of, you know, one playoff round, essentially?
Yeah.
Are you willing to take that step to say, all right, we're taking this seriously? And of course the owner is going to have say in everything. They write the check. They're spending the money. It's their money. But are you in a position to say, I know what's good for me. I'm going to take a step back to bring in this potential heavy hitter or, you know, whoever this person in the hockey world is. But I want to know if Francesco Aquilini is okay with having that buffer again. Mm-hmm. It didn't work with the Trevor Linden thing, but that doesn't necessarily mean the model is broken. If you want to take that next step, I think at some point you're going to have to really consider that. Maybe the organization's doing that now, but that's also a personal question for the owner.
Have you learned from mistakes? Right?
Yep.
And there's a lot of mistakes that have gone on here over the years, and it's not all on Francesco's shoulders, but he's asked to take some of the blame when he has spoken with us here on the People Show in the past.
Yeah.
So he shoulders a lot of this and should shoulder a lot of this. He committed to a general manager that brought next to no results for nearly a full decade. Mm. I mean, Jim Benning got as much runway as any GM does in the league, but most guys that last more than 5 years do have some results that they've put on paper. This team made the playoffs once in an 82-game season. Mm-hmm. The other one was the COVID year, as we've talked about. Part of that is on ownership. And have you learned from mistakes? Learned from your own messaging at times, no shortcuts, these sorts of things, that you are going to allow this team to grow at a more reasonable pace. Not try to push it forward, force it forward. Because when they've done that, you end up with a house of cards that's bound to fall. And so a lot of what Francesco is going to say today, it is for the PR to try and restore some confidence. But the proof will be in the future and just how willing this ownership group is into trusting more in its people that they hire to do the jobs to set this team up. And sometimes, you know, be willing to take no as a responsible answer. There's just a lot there that needs to be rectified, but the future is what's going to tell us if anything has actually changed with this team.
Well, you know, you're right. Anything I guess said today isn't really going to matter all that much, right? It'll be, if you hit the right notes, that'll be positive. Some people will, you know, talk about it. You hit the wrong notes, you'll get dragged. But the only thing that's going to matter is your action, right? That's the thing. It's about what actions you do moving forward. Now, in the meantime, before that action happens, there is some excitement in the fan base about Bruce Boudreau. What can happen with this team, right? Change is happening. And the unknown is exciting. What we kind of saw right now was the known of this team not being good. And now when the change happens, there is perhaps some hope that things could be different.
I also want to hear, you know, and see what potentially, and we might not get the answers to this, but is there going to be an external party involved in looking for that next leader of the organization, whether that's a GM or a president? Is it going back to a potential Mike Ford connection or somebody else of that nature? I'd like to see that because we have heard the conversations about Francesco Aquilini maybe leading that himself. I know Thomas Drantz was talking about that earlier, but is there going to be outside help when it comes to this next organizational leader? I think that's very, very important.
Well, the one thing I will say as far as replacements come, nothing's really been set up. I know there's names that are floating out, and hey, we talked about Mark Bergevin a couple weeks ago about how I can totally see this organization or ownership having some interest in him, but it's such a complicated guy to land on so many different levels, right? Yep. Money, his desire, the market, all these other things, the position he ultimately wants, right? So hey, you might have a conversation. That's a tough thing to land. But the reason I think it is still going to take some time before they actually ultimately hire someone is because there are candidates that may not be available until after the season. And until this organization goes through all the list of candidates and does their research on them and have the people look into them for them, and they decide on who they want to speak to, we're not going to see this list get narrowed down. Because if there is somebody or a few people they really like, but they may have to wait for, maybe they do end up waiting for it. So right now, they're going through the process of determining which candidates we're going to focus on, and that's going to really determine the timeline. But I don't see anything being imminent at all within this next week or so on a new GM being hired.
Yeah, and as it's been pretty apparent over the last 24 hours since we started to get the news, they want to, and this is an obvious thing, they want to nail this next hire,
yes,
as you would want to, right? And that means doing your due diligence and finding that right person, but also finding out a little bit more about this core at the same time. They've bought themselves some of that time with the hiring of Bruce Boudreaux and allowing the situation to play out a little bit more while they find their next candidates. Let's go to the Dunbar Lumber text line. Alex and Burnaby, I want to hear from Francesco that he recognizes being as involved as he's been more of a detriment than help. He said it himself. He's a huge fan of the Canucks. Well, fans shouldn't run the team. Bring in the right people whose job it is to run the hockey team and let them do their job. More coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. I want to hear him say they're taking it day to day. I don't know if he'll be saying that.
Appreciate the wrong answers only, though. That was a a submission on their own. We didn't even ask for it.
Now, as far as predicting something, I wouldn't be surprised at all that the message today from the owner is that he believes in the core.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if you hear that message.
That's why you go for a veteran coach that has had success with, you know, star players like that. So, and from everything that we see, you know, Bruce Boudreaux is obviously a Francesco Aquilini hire. So, therefore, you're trying to get that young group going again. So, believe in the core. Yeah, that is going to be a message. If you're creating the PR plan today, Seth, I believe in this team. And that's something that Francesco was saying last month.
He told us the same thing.
So, yeah, I don't expect that to change.
Jordan in Saskatoon. Today I woke up and the Canucks are still not great. But they have changed. The change that we wanted and was needed has happened, and the huge bleep storm that is the Benning era is over. I'm excited to be a Canucks fan again. Go Canucks, go. And you're hearing a lot of that on the Dunbar Lumber text line and speaking with fans. It's just a breath of fresh air for this franchise as they move forward into a new era. We will hear from Francesco Aquilini and Stan Smeal as they speak to the media in a news conference next. It's the People's Show on Sportsnet 650.
You're listening to The People's Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on Sportsnet 650.
Sportsnet 650 is the People's Show, presented by your local Grip Auto and tire location. Winter tire service and expert advice are waiting for you at gripauto.ca today. We are awaiting Francesco Aquilini to speak alongside Stan Smeal, interim general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. And, of course, legend, one of the numbers retired here in the rafters at Rogers Arena. We did get some texts if that will be available on television. Not sure if it will be on Sportsnet, but it will be available on sportsnet.ca.
And I think they might cut into it during Tim and Friends as well. So if you're near a television, I'm pretty sure I think you can catch that on a TV as well.
All right. So we are awaiting that news conference to begin. We will send you over to it as it does happen. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. Sat has just run down the stairs here to go and join the news conference. Bruce Boudreaux will speak after that as well. Let's go to Francesco Aquilini and Stan Smeal.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us here today. You know, when our family acquired Vancouver Canucks 15 years ago, we understood that this hockey team is much more than a business. For half a century, the Canucks have been a source of passion, pride, and entertainment for people in the city, in the region, and in the province. We understand that we are the stewards of this community asset, that we act on behalf of many stakeholders, and that our supporters share our expectations of commitment, excellence, and achievement. I know our fans and the media are frustrated and unhappy, but I assure you that no one is more frustrated and unhappy than me and my family. I'm also disappointed and surprised. In the offseason, we believed we'd have a much better team than what we've been seeing, that we'd have a better competitive team this year. So now it's time to go into a different direction with a new coach and a new GM. I want to thank Jim, John, Travis, Nolan for all their effort, hard work. They are good people, and they gave their all and their best to this franchise. But the status quo was just not acceptable. My family and I are committed to this team, our fans, and to the great city of Vancouver. We will get this right, and we'll make you proud. Thank you. I think Stan's going to has a statement here.
Thanks, Francesco. I just want to say it's an honor and a privilege to take on this responsibility. I share Francesco's thanks to Jim, John, Travis, and Nolan for their dedication to this team and their friendship. It's a tough part of the business we love. I wish them nothing but success. I have been a Canuck for 40 years. This is my team, my only team. I will always do what's best for this organization. I will always step up when asked to help. Bottom line, our performance this season has not been good enough. We do have some talented young players and a good core to build around, but we need to be better. It is now my job with RJ, Chris, Henrik, Jonathan, and others, strong members in our hockey operation team to help move this team forward in a new direction. There is pride in wearing this Canuck jersey. There is also a huge responsibility that comes with pulling on that jersey. You all know me. It's an honor to be sitting here today. This opportunity and responsibility means the world to me, and I will work extremely hard to get this team back on track.
Thank you, Steamer. We open up for questions. Brendan,
Francesco, just wondering about the appointment of Bruce Boudreau as head coach. Why do you feel he's the right fit at this time to come in and coach the team?
Well, you know, Bruce is, he's a veteran coach. He's very experienced, and, you know, his track record speaks for itself. He's, he's had a lot of success, you know, in these type of situations. We just felt that, it was the right time. I think, you know, we want to get back to being a competitive team again. That's what we're hoping for.
You spoke about a search for the next leader of hockey operations in the statement released yesterday. Do you have a timeline for that search? Is that something that you'd like to conclude, say, before the trade deadline, or how do you view that?
Well, we want to get the right person. I think we want to do a thorough and exhaustive search. We want to look at all the candidates that are available, people that are available. There's some people that are under contract that might be available. I mean, we're looking at everything. And, hopefully that's the plan, and that's what we're going to be working towards.
Have you consulted with Mike Ford on that process?
Mike Ford, no. I mean, in terms of using a search firm or Mike Ford, this all happened pretty fast. But that's something I'm considering, and I think that definitely merits a conversation and to see what they offer. I just need to look into a little deeper.
Francesco, was seeing a Canucks jersey tossed on the ice the last straw for you? When did the process begin to hire Bruce, and when did you know the end was near for all of them?
So, you know, it's pretty sad to see that. I mean, that wasn't the final decision. You know, I understand the fans' frustration. I mean, this has been something that has been culminating for a couple of weeks. You know, we were hoping for a turnaround. I mean, everybody was optimistic. I was optimistic. You know, probably, you know, too patient. Maybe should have done it sooner. I don't know. But, you know, it just came to a point where, you know, a decision had to be made. Like, something had to be done. And so, you know, we decided to hire Bruce. You know, it was a very recent, you know, recent decision.
Francesco, you're very passionate. Your family's very passionate about this hockey team. You talked about being stewards of this franchise. Almost 8 years of having Jim here. Do you feel you're any further ahead than when you hired him 8 years ago? And have you honestly looked at this team wondering if you need a rebuild or if you can continue going the same process you've gone?
Well, I mean, I think we have a lot of, you know, good young players. We have a, you know, good core. We have a great goaltender. There's a lot of good pieces in place. And why it's not working, I don't know. I wish I had the answer. It's very complicated. But, you know, I definitely believe in this group. I think, you know, they've shown it before. You know, I think everybody in this room knows that, what we've seen for the last few years. And so, you know, that decision about a rebuild or whatever, I mean, that's going to be the new general manager. You know, he'll come in with his vision. And, you know, he'll make, you know, he'll decide how we're going to, how this is going to be run going forward.
Francesco, I've got a question for you on communication from the organization. We don't hear from you very often like this, so mm-hmm. I appreciate you doing this. Last 18 months, we really didn't hear from Jim an awful lot as mm-hmm. a senior member and, you know, director of this team. And it put Travis in a tough spot. He had to answer questions about a player that was put on leave for sexual misconduct allegations and a player with vaccination issues as well. So I ask you, do you think you guys as an organization communicate with your fans effectively? And also, how important is it to have a public-facing figure above the coach that can sort of present and articulate a vision for this hockey club to the fan base? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a loaded question, but let me see. There's three parts into that. I mean, the first part is, you know, in terms of myself, I mean, I let the coach and the general managers talk about the team. It's not something that I should do or want to do. So they, you know, they're the ones speak on behalf of the team performance. I mean, I come out here when, you know, things like this have to happen. The, you know, more communication, I agree with you. I think that we need more communication from the fans. Something that didn't happen, but I think going forward, you know, I think the person that we hire is going to have to communicate more. I agree with you. And why it didn't happen, I can't really answer that, but I think I agree with you. I think there needs to be more communication in terms of articulating the vision. You know, we're going to need a leader that's going to come in, whether it's a president or a general manager, or combination of both. We just want to get the right people, and they'll have to articulate that vision.
Francesco, there's a suggestion out there that one of the reasons Jim was kept as long as he was kept was because it gave you influence. It allowed you to have a certain level of control and input. And ultimately, it's your team. You own it. But, you know, there's a thought that a larger organization, another president of hockey operations, more resources and an organization that has more depth might be the way to go. How do you respond to that in terms of your desire to be involved and what the entire process, not just one person that gets hired as a GM, what that process should look like?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the decision has to lay with one person. And, you know, whether you can have 10 people around them or 20 people or one person. And so the general manager is really ultimately responsible for the direction of this team because he picks the players, he picks the coaches, he sets the tone. You know, whether there should be more people, I mean, that's a decision the general manager makes, what he wants to include around him. So I support the manager. You tell me, what do you need? I'm there to support them. Whatever they need, I give them the support. You know, this question about influence, you know, I mean, this has been going on for a number of years, and, you know, I just like to put it to rest. Listen, owners own, managers manage, coaches coach, players play. Okay, so the minute you cross those lines, right? Where a coach wants to be a manager, the manager wants to be a coach, or the owner wants to be a manager. Like, there's no alignment anymore. And so, you know, I see my job as supporting the general manager. He comes with a plan. So this is what we think we should do. This is how we're going to go forward. And if it makes sense, I'm going to support it.
And if I can just jump in there, I just want to say I'm in a lot of these meetings and see the progress. I just want to say Francesco and the Aquilini family has always been supportive of whatever decision that the manager has made. And you could see that in the contracts with the players.
What's your role going to be? What latitude does Stan have? Is this to shepherd a transition to the next person, or will you get a fair bit of latitude to make moves or to do things between now and the end of the season?
So, I mean, Stan is the interim GM. We're going to be looking for a new GM. And in the meantime, if there's an opportunity that presents itself that makes sense, you know, Stan in this hockey group, he's got Daniel Henrik, you know, Brian Johnson. You know, if he wants to do it and makes sense, I'm going to support it. But the plan is, you know, to find a GM, maybe possibly a president. And in the meantime, Stan is going to help us find that person.
For myself, when I talked to Francesco with the position, I told him I don't want to be just sitting there watching. I'm going to present things to you. I'm going to be evaluating the players, seeing how the team is going down the road the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then make decisions as we move forward. And I know we've had discussions before, and I'll tell you right now, Francesco and I have disagreed and agreed on things, and it's not going to change. At the end of the day, we want the best for this organization until we find the right people to take over these positions. We're going to push in areas, and I'm going to push Francesco. And I think if there's something that should be had that's going to help this organization, I will talk to Francesco, and I will push him on it.
Francesco, on the subject of autonomy in particular, can you walk us through the process that led to your organization hiring Bruce Boudreau and how involved Stan Smith was in that process?
So, you know, as you all know, how things have been evolving in the last couple of weeks, you know, not very good. And, you know, it was very frustrating. There came a point in time where, you know, I just said, you know, enough is enough. I talked to Stan and, you know, whether the decision to replace the coach, the general manager, both, it was evaluating everything. You know, Stan did throw out some names to me. And so one of the names was Bruce. And, you know, I called up Bruce. Actually, his agent contacted me and then started talking to him. And then at some point, very recently, you know, I made him an offer, which I think was a good offer for Bruce and for myself. He accepted it, and he's here today. And, you know, we all know what he can do. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he can make a difference. You know, we're all hoping for that.
If I could just say, Ian, before you jump in there, the process was discussed within the group, and everyone was frustrated and disappointed, obviously, with the results that were happening and which way we should go. I talked to Francesco about it, and I gave him my thoughts of what he should do. He disagreed with some of them, but there is that where you keep working and saying, These things might be available, or this might be the best for this situation. I think what's really important for me in this is that you have a veteran coach come into the situation. And I think that decision after was put in Francesco's hand, and he was able to work out a good deal where we've got an experienced coach in a right situation.
Will the interim committee that Stan sort of chairs as interim GM, but that involves Ryan Johnson, Henrik, and Daniel, et cetera, will they have any input in your search for new hockey operations leadership on a permanent basis?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to be involved in that.
Yeah. Francesco, just circling back to Bruce Boudreau, maybe Stan, you can jump in on this. Bruce had a very
a knack of getting the most out of his players. His first year in Minnesota, all his key players had great years, and that speaks of being able to reach guys on a different level. You have a lot of impressionable young players who are struggling, but might be able to turn it around quickly under a coach like that. How much did that factor into your decision with Bruce's ability to reach his most important players quickly and get them to perform that quickly? And to me, that speaks of a retool or a rejig or whatever you want. It doesn't speak to me of a rebuild, which is, I don't think that's in your vocabulary, Francesco.
Right, you're asking me or Stan?
Both.
Oh, both, okay. Like we said, you know, Stan's, Bruce is an experienced coach, right? We wanted someone with experience. I think that was important. You know, there's lots of coaches out there, but we wanted someone with experience. We made a change, GM, coach. He wanted to go with an experienced coach. So, he's steering the ship right now. So he's the one in charge running the players. And he's had success before. That was played a big part into this.
Yeah, speak to just his ability to turn things around quickly.
Yeah, first of all, rejig? Like, is that a new? Okay. All right. Exactly what Francesco just said is two things. Veteran coach, and he's been through it before and has had success. That's the bottom line. You know, that's what you want in this sort of situation going in with this young talent that we have, to get the best out of those players, and he's had success doing it.
What about the Twins and just how their role may increase in all of this in committee?
It'll increase every day. I'll tell you, I've gotten to know them more in the last couple months than I knew them as players. They played, 17, 18 years here? I got to know them, and they're very passionate about bringing a winner here. And they'll do everything possible to do it. And they're not hold back on their opinions. They're very opinions. They are very bright in the game, obviously. So I'm going to be leaning on them, with Francesco leaning on them for their ideas and what their decisions on moving forward.
There's also been a suggestion that in the locker room the players may have lost faith in the organization, just based on what started last year during COVID, all the way through, you know, the last two off seasons, all of it. What message do you think this sends to them?
I think it sends the right message. I think everyone was waiting for something to happen. Things weren't working. Was it the decision on the GM? Was it the decision of the coach? We didn't have all those answers. And the players are looking around for answers. And what happens when you get to this point is that you start finger-pointing. Players point at the coach, and the coach points at the GM, and the GM points at the coach, and the coach points at the ownership. We all have a responsibility here. You're all professional athletes. And the only people that are going to make any difference is that players in the dressing room and the sense of direction we want to go as an organization. And I think we lost track of that. For what reasons, I don't know. But we're going to get the sense of direction on track. And that's from the ownership, Daniel and Henrik and RJ and Chris and myself. But we're the only ones, and we're only ones that can lead it out of this. And that. But there's no more finger pointing here. It's all us to get the job done.
Question for each of you. Francesco, you mentioned perhaps a president. So that would be another layer in that hierarchy you talked about. How much value do you think there is in having a position between you and the manager? So would that simplify the task for the GM and the hockey operations people if you have a president who speaks to you directly?
Yeah, if you have a president, I don't have to be doing this. But but everything is on the table. I think, if we can find the right person, president is, because they're not really general manager, they're not really the coach. It's, they're kind of, involved at an upper level. And, I think it would have to be someone that, comes in as a tandem, president and GM. They come in together. They know each other. They can work together. Those two people have to work very closely together. And you'd have to find the perfect fit. And that's not easy to find, but that option's on the table. You know, if that opportunity is there, if there's somebody that we could find that can come in as a president / GM or a general manager, you know, a president with a younger general manager, maybe can be learned from the senior president, somebody with more hockey experience. That combination, I mean, I don't know yet. I mean, my wish list and what we can actually achieve by the time when we need to get it done is different. So we'll see. Everything's on the table.
Stan, the players who spoke this morning talked about accountability, and that seemed to be what you were referencing on your last answer about everybody being accountable. So I ask you, how much do you believe that these players can be accountable and play their way out of the position that they put the team in, rather than you and your group having to make changes to find players who can fix things?
You know, Ian, I think the players to get to the NHL are all put in different situations, and pressure is one of them, how they deal with pressure. Accountability is another one, and I think they've gone through that experience at some level. They have had that, and this is what we've gotten away from within our organization. For me, I talked to Francesco about an identity. You know, what is our identity, and where does it start? It starts with your accountability. It starts with your effort. And those things are all important. So I think the players just have to step back here a bit and see what's gotten them there and their experiences and use that now. And that to get out of it, it's not just going to be one individual. As you know, it's going to take a team, and they've got to come back to being a team and make it hard to play against. That's the identity I want in this organization. Be hard to play against. So I'm lining up against you, Ian. I'm going to make it as miserable as possible. And that was my message. Francesco, I talked to the players about that this morning. And I think that's an important area, and that's an area we've got to start in. And then when you have the talent that we talk about and you put that together, you start getting better and start winning as a team.
Francesco, we haven't had a chance to talk to you about the business side of running this team. I don't know if people know the harsh reality of playing during the bubble, the costs associated with that. Can you talk about the difficulties of running an organization the last 3 years, the last 2 years with COVID? And secondly, I know you've had to pare down the operations. Do you see now, with people back in the building, hopefully revenues coming back up, do you see an expansion of your hockey operations and your hockey department? Can you maybe just talk about that reality?
Yeah, it's been, it's been hard these last couple of years. I mean, it's been super difficult. I mean, laying people off, having an empty building, it's been, I can't even describe it. It's been horrible. But, we had to deal with it and move forward. Now we have fans back in the building. And so I think going forward, listen, I've always provided all the resources they need, right, to put a good competitive team on the ice. We spent to the cap. I always ask the manager, and I say, what do you need? Give them whatever they need. And so that's really my job. My job is to support them and give them all the resources. So, and that will continue. That will always continue from our side, from my family, from my dad and my brothers. When we have to write the check, we're there because we want a winning team. We're very proud.
Five more minutes, please. We got a question from Sad.
Francesco, when it comes to what happened the past 7 to 8 years and what you learned from that process, is there a lesson that you learned that you want to do differently moving forward to a new regime and a new future?
There's always lessons. You can always, life is a learning experience. Is there any one particular lesson? I mean, there's so many lessons. I'm always getting better. I'm always learning. I think from this last 7 years, I think, building a culture is really important. I think that's probably what I learned is about culture and about values and what you collectively believe together. I think that's something that's always evolving, and organizations, even outside of hockey, it's all about culture. you know, coming together as a group and believing into something, believing, making you do something that, you know, it's probably beyond your capability because you want to do it because your group is there. So that's what I learned about culture. That's really important.
Francesco, your answer, or your statement, excuse me, mentioned a word, excellence, which I don't think we've heard a lot of in this room over the past 5 years anyway. It's been a lot of meaningful games in March, just making the playoffs. Does your club, as you sort of turn a page, does your club need to aspire to more than it has in recent seasons?
Absolutely. I mean, excellence is our standard. It's everything we do. I mean, it's us as human beings. And, you know, we're working hard. That's what the message I try to push down is excellent. We want to be the best we can be.
The excellent candidate is a candidate from the past. Would you consider them?
The
excellent candidate, the excellence candidate, is a candidate from the past. Would you consider them?
Like somebody that's been employed here before? Everything's on the table. I mean, I'm not going to say no to anything.
Will Mark Bergevin be here in the not-so-distant future to talk about a possible position?
I know Mark.
Next couple days, maybe?
Yeah, I know. I think Mark wants to just take it easy for a minute. You know, he'd been with the Canadians for 10 years, and I think, and I haven't spoken to him, but, you know, I'm sure he just wants to sit back and just, you know, I guess reflect. But anything is possible. I mean, I'm not going to rule anything out, you know.
When you guys said communication was an issue, when did that first become something you realized?
Communication.
In terms of internally, externally, you know, something you talked about, Stan mentioned it as well, there was an issue with communication.
Yeah, did you mention, I didn't mention communication. Did you mention, with communication?
If I just follow up, I'm not sure. I'm just saying communication is such an important value in any organization you're doing. And you got to have the game plan and having got people work within your group that this is the plan, this is how we're going to communicate, not just within our office, but with the players, with everyone else in this organization. So I think communication is a real key nowadays to getting the most out of the people that are working with you.
Stan, last question is, can I ask you, has there been a disconnect, you've worked in the hockey operations department for a while, between the players that you've been developing on the farm and bringing them up? And I ask that when I see Jonah Gadjevich playing games for San Jose, Cole Lind is skating for Seattle at times. These are guys who you guys spent time developing, but I don't know if they ever got their fair shake here. Has there been a disconnect with what's been going on the farm to implementing them here in your lineup?
No, I don't think there's a disconnect at all. I just have to say that it's very important, and it's an area that we're going to spend a lot more time on in the development of our players. I have my own plan with when you have players down in your farm team. I just want to say that over the years that, you know, we lost a few players on waivers, and there's a reason why we lost them, because we developed them so well, you know, and it just didn't pan out with what here we had to put them on waivers. Our coaching staff, Trent and his staff down there, have done a really good job, you know, because other teams are wanting these players. We just didn't have the mix at that time to fit these guys in our lineup.
Two more. We got John Garrett and Vic.
Stan, you talked about being a Canuck for 40 years, and I was for a brief time too. But now, the sweater on the ice thing. And a lot of people say, well, the fans have the rights and pay their money and all that kind of stuff. It must have just eaten you up to see a Canuck sweater being thrown on the ice.
It was... The end of that game was difficult. And I think just hearing the fans. So the end of that game was very difficult to watch. And that's when I felt I have to get involved here a lot more and express my views maybe a little stronger. But like I said, at the end of the day, we're all responsible, from the players to the management to the coaches to the ownership, and we've got to make it better. And I think We've taken a step back in the direction we want to go, and we got to put that game plan together and follow through on it, John.
Last one, okay.
We saw what happened on Saturday, Francesco. Years ago, at the end of the Mike Gillis era, fans also voiced their displeasure. Why does it need to escalate to that level if people were waiting for things to happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's another good question. I mean, these are difficult decisions. These are not easy. I mean, to fire everybody at the same time, that's a hard thing to do. And, I was a little bit too patient. I was hoping for a turnaround. We're losing these goals by one game, by one goal. Maybe I was too optimistic. So we made the change when we made the change.
Thank you, everyone. Just put a little wrap there, and we'll bring them.
That was Francesco Aquilini speaking alongside Stan Smyl, the interim general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. Bruce Boudreau will be speaking in moments. You're listening to The People's Show on Sportsnet 650.